In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ constraineth us. A revolutionary speaker addressing students one day, he said, "In the world, man moves on the basis of self-interest and not on the basis of lofty ideals." The thoughts of that speaker were a far cry from the words of the great apostle in our text. Paul is not moved by self-interest. He is a man constrained by the love of Christ. The Lord's constraining love was the driving force, the secret spring behind all the endeavors and the labors of this apostle. The love of Christ for Paul so filled and fired his whole being, it was no longer self, no longer Paul that lived, but Christ that lived in him. The white-hot flame of his zeal was observed by his foes. Festus, the Roman governor who listened to Paul relating the story of his conversion, Festus said, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Far from being mad, the cause of God and of lost souls compelled him. The whole energy of his being was constrained by the love of Christ to glorify God and to reach others. Oh, may we not be strangers to the experience of the apostle. May you and I know personally what it is to be constrained so that self-will will not be at the center of all that we do. The Lord will have his rightful place on the throne of our hearts. We will be sold out to him. We will serve him without reserve or stint. As we come to this text, notice first of all the consideration of the love of Christ. The love of Christ, it passes knowledge. We cannot fully comprehend its height, its depth, its breadth, its length, but we may know something of it. And we can come to such a grasp of the divine love for us in Christ as to cause us to be bound to the altar of service by its cords. What can we say of it? It is sublime. It is not the love of an angel, seraphim or cherubim, that is before Paul. It is the love of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah's fellow and equal, the eternal I Am, the Ancient of Days. And how does Christ love his people? We have this wonderful statement from the Lord's lips in John chapter 15 and verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." The Father loved the Lord from all eternity. And so Christ has loved us with an everlasting love. as the Father loved Christ with that special, peculiar affection. So we are discovering the Lord has loved us. What a marvel. What a wonder that the Lord of glory should love us with the same love with which the Father loved him. It's sublime. It's substitutionary. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, a man will lay down his life for his friend. The Lord has not only equaled, he has exceeded the love of man. The Lord laid down his life for us who were enemies of God. We see the phrase in verse 14. The phrase, one died for all. If one died for all, then we're all dead. Here our spiritual state is spelt out. By nature, we were all dead, spiritually dead. We were not like a tree that's withered. When carefully replanted and watered, it may recover and regain its former vitality and vigor. We were dead spiritually in trespasses and in sins. The verse 21 explains that Christ was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took our place. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me, substitutionary, sublime love. It was sacrificial love. We have the great I Am saying in John 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He loved us even to the death of the cross. One died for all. Such was the Lord's love for all for whom he died, that he laid down his life voluntarily, willingly. His life was not wrested from him. Not all the combined strength of men or demons could have crucified the Lord against his will. How deluded Pilate was when in John chapter 19 and verse 10 he made this statement, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? He's addressing the Lord, and he maintains, I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee. Oh, he imagined that all power was vested in himself. The Lord swept away his foolish thoughts in verse 11, answering, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. For it was not the hands of wicked men, nor was it the nails that transfixed the Lord to the cross. It was his love, his sacrificial love for us. And we can add that it was saving love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 9, we learn that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us from hell, to save us for heaven. The souls of all the redeemed have been plucked as brands from the burning. In light of that great love wherewith Christ loved us, he puts the question to you and to me, lovest thou me more than these? More than all besides? When personalities came to the fore in this church at Corinth, some were attached to Apollos, and some were followers of Peter, and there were still others who were followers of Paul. And Paul asked this searching question in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13. Think of this question. He asked them, was Paul crucified for you? What a searching question. There were those who were following the apostle, and he put it straight to them, was I crucified for you? In other words, only Christ, who was crucified for us, is worthy of our love, of our all. Love so amazing, so divine, we were singing, demands my soul, my life, my all. That brings us, secondly, to the constraint of the love of Christ. Christ's love for us, it will have this effect on our lives when we consider, ponder it, comprehend it. It will constrain us. It will be like oil to the wheels of our service. Who is it that will not return love for love? Even the worst, the most emphasis of men will do so. In Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 46, we read the words of the Lord, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Even the publicans, counted the worst of men, they will return the love that's shown to them. And will we, who are redeemed with the Savior's blood, will we make no return of the Lord's love for us? This was what made Paul labor more than all the apostles. The love of Christ for him constrained him to spend and be spent in the Lord's work. This word constraineth. It is a forceful word. It is full of meaning. It means to press, to bring all one's affections to one, to even Christ. It means to transport, being so constrained, we will be lifted above trivial things. Our affection in its totality will be set on things above. It means to impel. It urges us on our way. Love begets love. And constrained by the love of Christ, we will run in the way of the Lord's commandments. The love of Christ begets a kindred love in those constrained by it. Constrained by the Lord's love, we will act as He acted. Then our lives will be marked with sacrifice. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, John says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." David, when building an altar for the Lord, he went to Arana and he proposed to buy the threshing floor from Arana for money. He was prepared to pay him the price for the threshing floor. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, David said to Arana, who was prepared to give him the threshing floor for nothing, he said, "I will buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." David was not prepared to serve the Lord with nothing. He was constrained to give everything to Him. Constrained by love, this apostle suffered the loss of all things for the Master. It was C.T. Studd who said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then I count no sacrifice too great to make for Him." Constrained by the Savior's love, our lives will be marked with service. The Lord did not love in thought only, or in word, but in deed and truth. He was among us as one that serveth. The woman who was a sinner and had been forgiven much, she stood at the Lord's feet. She washed those weary feet with her tears. And she wiped His feet with the hairs of her head, her glory. And she kissed the Lord's feet and anointed them with the precious ointment. Oh, how she loved. Forgiven much, you will love much. And loving much, you will gladly be spent in His royal service. We know that Jacob served for Rachel out of love to her. Constrained by the Lord's love, may we rise up as individuals and as the collective body of His people and serve Him wholeheartedly in our generation. Constrained by love, then our lives will be marked by seeking the lost. The Lord loved the lost. He sought them. In his journey from Judea to Galilee, John chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. It was not the direct, the usual route. Why then did the Lord travel along this path? He was constrained to do so by the needs of the woman of Samaria. There was a thirsty soul, a down and out sinner, to reach at Jacob's well. The Lord sought the lost. And so will we when constrained by his love. Mr. Spurgeon said, "You do not love the Lord at all unless you love the souls of others." Paul tells us in Romans 10 and verse 1 what his heart's desire was. "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." As the Lord wept over the hard hearts of the people of Jerusalem, so may we carry with us a burden for others. The love of Christ doth me constrain to seek the wandering souls of men, with cries and entreaties and tears to save, to snatch them from the fiery wave. And then lastly, we see in this text the continuance of this constraint. You will notice how the text is written. "For the love of Christ constraineth us." He does not say that the love of Christ did constrain him, or that it will yet constrain him at particular times. No, Paul tells us that this is no flash in the pan constraint. It's one that is ever present, that is always abiding day and daily. He's constrained to no longer live to himself, but to him that died for him and rose again. Frances Ridley Havergal, she saw a portrait of the crucifixion with the caption, "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" And she took a piece of paper and wrote a poem based on that caption. Not fully satisfied with it, she threw the paper into the fire. It bounced back out unmarked. And later her father encouraged Frances to publish those words. And the words are in our hymn book. "I give my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I give my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?" This was the driving force in Paul's life. Oh, the same must be true of us. As the Lord's love to us is like himself unchangeable, so may ours be that constant flame of devotion
and dedication to the Master. We remember the church at Ephesus. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 2. So many commendable things about this church. They were commended for their works, their labors, their patience, their exposure and denunciation of false teachers and teachings. They were commended for their patience, but they failed on this point. In verse 4 of Revelation chapter 2, the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The Lord noted it, marked it down against them. They had lost the love that they once had. They had forfeited the love in their hearts of their espousals. How is it with us? Oh, may we enter in to the experience of Paul. May our daily prayer be, oh, to grace, how great a debtor I'm constrained to be. Let this grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it from Thy courts above. May our hearts be fired with a constant love for Christ that cannot be shaken. And this Spirit will make us as bold as lions and as swift as eagles in the Lord's royal service. What can be said of those in this service who do not have the Savior in their hearts? How is it that you put away from you His dying love? How is it that you will have none of Christ? But the one who died to save you on the cross and who ascended to the Father's right hand and is ever living, able to save to the uttermost. Oh, why will you not be reconciled to God through Him? The Lord has waited all the days. His hands have been stretched out to you all the days. Why is it that you wait? Oh, to the one who died to save and who lives to save to the uttermost, may you be reconciled to Him today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May you not go away without the Lord.